Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. And today, as we usually do on Friday, we look ahead to this Sunday, December 6th, which is the second Sunday of Advent. I want to pause here for a moment and say, how are you doing in this first week of Advent? How are you doing preparing your life for the coming of the Lord? Because remember, when we celebrate Christmas, we don't celebrate a past event. Yes, it was a past event, but the reality of that event is as real today as it was at that first Christmas. The reality is as real today because God is outside time. And God seeks to be born in you or to be reborn in you. God seeks to give you new life as he comes as a helpless child. You're not celebrating a past event. You're celebrating a present reality. God has fully given himself. Yes, it happened in a certain historical period, but the grace, that is the life-giving sharing of God himself with us, is right there, right now, for you. So what I've been asking in the course of this week is, what are you doing in your life to get the boulders out, or at least the big stones over which you can trip, getting them out of the way, clearing the path so that the Messiah can walk right, in a sense, walk right into your heart? That's so important. It's the most important thing you can do in these days. Not the travel, not the buying of gifts. All those things will pass away. But if your life and the life of your family is built on the rock that is Christ, and we spoke about that earlier this week, is your house built on rock or is it built on sand? And if your house is built on rock, you're going to live forever. And if your house is built on sand, God can change that. We just need to acknowledge it and to say, teach me, show me, help me. Please let this Advent be productive. Please let it be fruitful in your life. Please don't let it go by in a blur. I said on the first day, carve out some time, 15 minutes, every single day. Don't let anything obstruct it, unless something happens to your child and you have to run to the hospital. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Give God that time and ask him to speak to your heart. Ask him to show you what needs to be restored or renewed, what needs to be gotten rid of, so that Christ may shine in you, so that those who encounter you in the Christmas season find not only you, but they find him. That's God's work. And he can do it through us if our hearts are not cluttered or overcome with boulders and stones, obstacles to faith in him. Let's take a look at the first reading for this Sunday, from the prophet Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever, wrapped in the cloak of justice from God. Bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever. The peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights, look to the east. See your children gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you. God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command. For God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. Why? Because they repented. They repented. They finally woke up and saw that they were bowing down to false gods, that they had turned away from God's way. And they're coming back. They're coming back to him. Brothers and sisters, have we strayed? Have we gone away from God? Did we once give him our full heart and now he's kind of a token acknowledgement. But we really don't worship him and we really don't follow him. This is where Jesus says, come back to me. God our Father says, come back to me with all your heart. With all your heart. Draw near to me. We can. And God can renew us and restore us and use us for his glory. I want everyone who listens to this program to be able to say the psalm for this Sunday. Be able to say it clearly. This second Sunday of Advent, the Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. And it's in that psalm, if you notice, restore fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. When we mourn for our sins, when we mourn for our stupidity, and the results of it bring even more tears, God sees that, and we can reap rejoicing. Our tears can water the seed that God is planting in our hearts, and it can bear fruit if we repent, if we turn back. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying the sheaves. That's what God has for us, is joy. And joy is infectious. Joy is one of the most powerful evangelizing tools, gifts we have. And so many of us are so glum all the time, or so serious, that the joy of the Lord can't be seen. Joy isn't ha ha ha. Joy is a deep, abiding security that God is with me and that I am with God. And that joy, Scripture says, no one shall take from you. That's what God wants us to have. Draw near to him. Weep, mourn for your sins, yes, but then lay them at the feet of Jesus and rise and receive the new life he has for you. The second reading for this Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6 and 8 to 11. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge, in every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and the praise of God. He prays for the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Paul before the throne of God prays for us. And what does he pray for? That your love may increase more and more in knowledge of who God is and of who you are. That you may have every kind of perception, that is insight to see the eternal value of life. To discern what is of value so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul prays for you. The angels and the saints pray for you. Jesus around the throne of God prays for you. Jesus, your mediator, your savior, the one who gave his life so that you could have life forever, prays for you. You're never alone. No sin is too great to be forgiven. No sin. If we genuinely repent, every sin is forgiven. Every sin. And the gospel for this Sunday is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. Now, why are we going through all of that? Because the gospel writer, in this case Luke, wants to situate these circumstances right in history. So he's telling you, in effect, Americans. He was telling you who's president, who's vice president, who's speaker of the house, who's this, who's that, so that you can find in history what really happen, that what the gospel is teaching is rooted in history. Jesus really did come to this earth. He really did live here. That's what the writer is trying to communicate here. The word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert at that historical time. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh will see the salvation of God. You will see the salvation of God. You. When you die and stand before him, you will see the salvation of God. So the point is that in this life, we need to have our eyes straight, focused on the right things. We need to open our ears to the truth, not to all the tawdry stuff we hear throughout the internet and television. I'm not saying totally turn it off, though that would be my advice. But if I were asked, but what I am saying is be fed by truth, be fed by the word of God. Don't be fed by things that at best distract and at worst destroy your relationship with God. Don't allow that to happen. You have authority in your life. You can determine what you listen to, what you watch. It's very, very important, brothers and sisters, that just because you can get access to something, should you? What is going to help you on the path to salvation? What's going to hinder it? What has the power to obliterate it? And then you need to decide what you're going to do. This is the call, brothers and sisters, as true Christians. This is the call during this busy season in Advent, as we're running in stores and we're trying to get this and we're trying to fulfill our list and we're trying to buy this food. Please don't let those things, acts of generosity though they may be, don't let those things occupy the center of your life. What's center is what Christ did for you in becoming man and coming as an innocent, helpless child, to show you that he would go to any lengths to show you his love and to save you from eternal death. Put your focus where it belongs, where it has to be. Please. I know it's countercultural these days to do that, but I urge you, give God time every day because he wants to enter your heart more this Christmas than you have ever known. May God bless you and prepare you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.